You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. I'm your host, James Coe, alongside my guy, MG, Marcus Grant, the man behind the glass, the man with the master plan. That would be the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, and the Hoff, the fabulous one himself, Michael Fabiano. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Nice game last night for Nuke.
Oh, yeah, wow. That was quite the game.
Yeah.
He was great.
It seriously seemed like he was every wide receiver on the Houston Texan roster last night, except for
Jalen Strong. Jalen Strong made an appearance. Hey, welcome to the world, Jalen Strong. It was so sad for USC fans, too. Not only did they suffer a tough loss.
Let's just get that out of the way.
What happened in that game?
Let's get this out of the way early.
So, I don't follow college football. So, is Washington just really bad and USC should have never lost
to them?
It's
not that Washington's really bad.
They were a double-digit favorite at home.
It's not that Washington's really bad. I mean, they're a young, up-and-coming team, and they've got a very good defense. But it was a case of everybody watching that game in the building at home could see that SC was gashing them running the football.
Right.
So why not put it in the hands of our struggling quarterback and let him throw it 30 times in a couple of picks?
Is that their second loss this year?
Yep. It is.
Yep.
Both of them at home.
At home to double-digit underdogs.
Right.
Wow.
Good job. Good. No, but I felt bad for him during the Thursday night broadcast because
Jalen Strong.
Yeah, Jalen Strong caught that the Hail Mary, and they couldn't stop talking about the
Hail Mary part two. I tried to head people off at the pass as soon as it happened, I went and just posted on Twitter a photo of the Hail Mary from the Coliseum last year. I'm like,
great name, by the way.
I'm just going to preemptively strike everybody so no one comes at me with that.
That was funny. And I felt bad for USC fans. It was kind of not cool.
It was a double whammy.
It was a double whammy, piling on. But no, it's fun. It's crazy because the old guys, man, the old guys rule.
Yeah, that was it. This is so silly because people always buy into this like revenge narrative and fantasy, like, oh, so-and-so's playing their old team. And well, sure, there's probably a little bit of something to it. Like,
but are we at the point where maybe we should start?
Now, I mean, Golden Tate didn't do a thing against Seattle.
Right.
Okay.
So.
But, I mean, let's just say, how about older established stars versus old team in a revenge game? Steve Smith last year just went bonkers.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson went ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of like against Philadelphia. So I don't know. Is there something to it?
I don't know if it was a revenge game specifically. I mean, I do feel like maybe they tried to get Andre Johnson a little more involved against his old team, but one of the things I did hear, you know, in the afternoon yesterday before that game was that a lot of the Colts players were talking about Matt Hasselbeck and saying that if you get open, he will reward you, that he's going to find you with the football. And I don't know if that was necessarily a criticism of Andrew Luck or what have you.
Sure sounds like it.
But apparently, you know, the pass catchers there like the fact that Hasselbeck tends to spread the ball around a little bit more.
By the way, are we one Andrew Luck interception away from a full-blown quarterback?
No, you're,
come
no,
on. You're no. I'm not saying that there is one. I'm just saying there's going to be stories.
No, there's not.
Saying there is
potential dumb sports writers.
Quarterback controversy.
I mean, look, there's a lot of column inches to fill and a lot of digital media space to fill up there. So, you know, maybe somebody will come up with that idea, but yeah, no one's buying it.
Although, you want to talk about someone who came back. I don't know that I've ever had as much anxiety as I did last night watching Arian Foster as someone who owns him in like four or five leagues.
Okay.
Every time he touched the ball, I started to get nervous.
I did too.
And then when he got that that injury and he's out, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But he had a strong game.
Yeah.
He had nine catches.
He clearly wasn't like 100% Arian Foster.
No.
But he's still really good.
Right.
He's so smart and so fluid. He just lacked that like extra gear he usually has. But it was still great to see him out there making his cutbacks, making the good reads.
And
like
his stiff arm
passes.
Is strong.
Stiff arm is still strong. The hamstring might not be in the groin, but stiff arm is strong.
It's funny because if you look at the targets from last night, Nuke had 14, Foster had 10.
Wait, only 14?
He had 14.
It's insane. He dropped his pace off from 240 to 237 now on the year. 237 targets. That's astronomical.
So see, now I feel good about trading Drew Brees and Mike Evans to get him in an industry league that I'm in because I was worried I maybe gave up too much and gave up a little early on Mike Evans, but boy, Nuke is just unreal right now.
Get all the targets.
I feel like he's putting up a lot of Andre Johnson games though. No touchdowns.
Well,
a lot of catches.
I'll take six.
A lot of yards.
What the heck was with Jalen Strong? Like coming out of nowhere.
I love it.
That was frustrating.
Well, part of it is that the Colts decided not to cover him. I mean,
that's one way.
The Hail Mary at the end of the first half. If there was nobody really around him, he just boxed out and then made an easy catch.
There were five Colts behind him, like some little congregation. Like, are you going to cover Jalen? You going to cover Jalen? Nah, let's let you cover Jalen. Then he just catches the touchdown.
And then the second touchdown, there was nobody in the area code. I mean, he was all by himself.
And Brian Hoyer. With almost 20 fantasy points.
312
and
yards.
And he wasn't even the starter to begin the game.
I know, isn't that crazy?
This was an upside-down game where the guys who hadn't done anything or were struggling really ended up coming up big for fantasy owners, although most people didn't start. Hoyer, I'm sure some people started Andre Johnson. No one started strong. Hasselbeck, I mean, if you're in a deep league or a 2QB, maybe he got his start. He had 16 fantasy points. Frank Gore's back on the right track now, right?
Well, they're finally giving him carries, thankfully. Yeah. Like, that's what he just needed.
He didn't fumble.
Give the old man some work.
Didn't fumble.
Frank Gore, 22 carries, 98 yards, added a touchdown.
Great day.
T.Y. Hilton, 5 catches, 88 yards, no TDs.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson went crazy, 6 catches, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns. On the other side of the ledger, Arian Foster, again, we were mentioning him kind of struggling on the ground, 19 carries, 41 yards, about 2 yards a carry. Not great. His longest run of the afternoon was a 7-yarder.
Yeah, but he made hay as a catcher.
Oh, no doubt about it. Nine catches for a running back. 77 yards. He had a long of a 32. So, and we talked about DeAndre Hopkins as well. 11 catches, 169 yards. It was insane. But, you know, you look at the old guys here. Anna Vinatieri, even, old guy, over 40 years old. Matt Hasselbeck, 40 years old. Frank Gore, 32 years old, which is,
that's ancient in running back years.
In running back years, it's unbelievable how old that is. And then Andre Johnson, 34 years old, I believe. And he made an impact as well. But my goodness.
Another story in this game, too, guys. The Texans' defense, thanks for nothing. Right? You hear the report from our own Stacey Dales that Matt Hasselbeck is hoping he can get through four quarters. There's visions of Josh Johnson playing quarterback dancing in our heads. We're thinking it's a home game on a Thursday night. And the Texans
and they're desperate.
Give you
and they're
nothing.
Desperate.
Well, I mean, you look at the numbers from this thing, and we talked so much about the pass rush and J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and those guys up front, and you worry about the Colts offensive line have been struggling. No sacks. Matt Hasselbeck was not sacked.
One of the things, I just saw this on Twitter this morning when I was waiting for you guys to come up here, was that the percentage of Matt Hasselbeck's throws that left his hand in less than like 2.4 seconds or something like that was like 75%. And with Luck, it's only around 50%. Wow. So I think they schemed, and it's Matt Hasselbeck being a savvy veteran, that like every time he got that snap, he was like, later, and then just chucked that thing so he didn't have to deal with Clowney. Because they did put some pressure on him here and there. Clowney hit him a couple times, and Watt got that weird roughing penalty where he like accidentally bumped into Hasselbeck, and Hasselbeck pulled a soccer player and was like, oh, God! But Hasselbeck was smart about getting it out. I'm sure that was part of the game plan for the Colts.
I know we talk about fantasy here, but, you know, from a real-life perspective, look, Ryan Mallett, obviously not great, but 7 of 10 throwing, and then Brian Hoyer, 24 of 31 throwing the football. I thought both of those guys were pretty efficient. They just, you know, obviously they couldn't establish a ground game. I'm not saying I liked what I saw from either one of those guys, but Brian, it's funny. I feel like Ryan Mallett should just start every single game, and then they should just yank him after a series, and then just throw Brian Hoyer in
there. I would love to see Bill.
He's so much better as a backup. I don't understand.
I'd love to see Bill O'Brien walk out to the field like a manager in baseball and just, you know, call for the right hander or whatever.
he takes the ball from Mallett, like pats him on the shoulder, like good job, kid, and then Hoyer comes in.
That'd be awesome.
That is funny. By the way, we talked about Jalen Strong. 53 yards, two catches, two touchdowns. That's pretty efficient.
That's efficient.
Pretty good.
Is there? Look, they used
no.
the third round draft.
No.
Is he worth a bench spot?
No.
Not right now.
Maybe in a dynasty league.
Definitely in a dynasty league.
I like this talent. I did. And then he struggled in preseason. He was battling injuries. He just wasn't playing well. And then Cecil Short stepped in, started playing really well.
And
Nate Washington was playing well. So this was a situation where Strong got on the field because those other two guys were hurt.
But that's why I'm asking. You know, is he worth a bench spot? Because, look, his talent level,
it's undeniable.
It's undeniable. He's a good player. It's just a matter of, can he put it all together? He didn't put it together in the preseason. I liked what I saw. I mean, granted, one was a Hail Mary, but, you know, the strength by which he caught, there was no hesitation in his game whatsoever. And going back to the college tape, I just like Jalen Strong in terms of what he can do for this offense. If DeAndre Hopkins is taking the coverage over the top, Jalen Strong, whose game is really well-suited underneath, could be an interesting fit there. Would I use a waiver priority on him? Okay, no, I wouldn't do that. But to me, when I look at Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington, I'm not necessarily blown away. I wonder if, you know, if this season starts getting away from him, I wonder if Jalen Strong just starts getting more work.
Unless his name is DeAndre Hopkins, there is no Texans wide receiver I would trust.
All right. Yeah, I think it's just a wait and see thing right now, because I'm trying to, if my mouse would work, like to tell the listeners what I was telling you guys, right now the mouse on this computer in the podcast studio, for whatever reason, whenever I go to a part of the screen, it decides to just revert back to a different side of the screen, making productivity very hard. But I wanted to see. Strong only had two targets, too.
Yeah, two targets.
One was one wasn't even a target.
Nope.
It was just a Hail Mary.
YOLO ball, I believe.
Let's wait and see. It was a YOLO Hail Mary. Let's just wait. Let's wait and see with Jalen Strong.
Now, I would like to actually find out. I'm going to Google this. Do you guys know where the term Hail Mary came from?
It was from the Staubach play against
the Vikings.
He said, I dropped back, I said a Hail Mary, and I let the ball go.
Which is why some purists are like, they're not all Hail Marys.
There's only
that
one Hail
one
Mary.
Play. I'm like, get off your high horse.
All right, let's hit the top headlines.
Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, your top headlines. We start in Seattle. Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, says he's, quote, doing everything we can to get Jimmy Graham involved. Do you buy what he is selling, Alex Gelhar?
Nope.
I guess, but when you hear quotes like this, obviously there's a lot of questions in the media regarding Jimmy Graham's usage. Imagine a scenario where, you know, the offensive coordinator and the coaching staff in general basically say, you know what, guys, we do need to get Jimmy Graham more involved here.
I'm sure they are saying that. I mean, here it is. You gave up a big part of your team in Max Unger
Absolutely.
To bring this guy in. And whether or not it had anything to do with that final play in the Super Bowl, we may never know, in actuality. But here it is. You have a major offensive weapon on your team. And, okay, maybe you're not going to completely change your offensive style, but you are wasting this guy. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Now, I don't know if they have something up their sleeve that we don't know about. But, again, I go back to what I saw last week on Monday night. And if they can't protect Russell Wilson, and if half the pass plays turn into scramble drills, then I don't know if Jimmy Graham is suited to play in an offense where, you know, he's got to basically play, you know, backyard football.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too, guys. I mean, as much as we research and we follow the game and the stats and everything else, there's some things in sports that happen and we don't get it. We don't get why Marshawn Lynch didn't get the football in the Super Bowl last year.
I got it. Seattle, the right call.
Seattle probably wins the Super Bowl. We don't understand why Adrian Peterson barely touched the ball in week one, and ever since he's been a demigod. He's been so awesome.
Because Norv thought he was smarter than everybody else.
There are certain things we don't get, we will never understand. We don't understand why Bill Belichick hates our fantasy football teams, although this year maybe Deion Lewis has broken the Belichick curse. But Jimmy Graham was, number one, never a great fit for this team. Number two, the offensive line's deficiencies have made it more difficult for him to be on the field because he can't block. And if you remember that quote back in the preseason where he said, hey, man, you know, 75% of the time I'm going to be blocking out there. Maybe he was joking, maybe he wasn't. But the tight end is utilized to block in this offense, not to be a pass catcher. And Marcus hit it on the head. If the offensive line can't do its job, Jimmy Graham can't get out in space, and they're playing sort of backyard football where Russell Wilson's running for his life and looking for the first open guy, especially when Marshawn Lynch is not in the game, Jimmy Graham is going to be neutralized.
I guess what I don't understand, though, is if the offensive line can't block, you throw to the tight end. It's the quickest way to get yards.
Not if the tight end's being doubled.
The question is he being doubled? I mean,
well, last week he was being
bracketed a lot. Yes. They would have the safety over the top and the linebacker underneath. Yep. And yeah, I mean, the Detroit has some pretty good linebackers too, so that might have been part of it. But
This week, I mean, Cincinnati's given up fewer than 5 fantasy points a game to tight ends.
Yeah, it's just it's not good. It's hashtag ungood, as Marcus says.
We will stay in Seattle, where Marshawn Lynch misses practice. He's basically...
Bro, I've been here the whole time.
I don't know about that one.
He's there. He's in the press box.
Might be true. Might be true. But he's missed practice time. He's considered, week to week, game to game. What do we make of the injuries? We don't even know really what it is at this point, because what was it before? It was a... I think he was dealing with a calf. And then when we saw him in the game, they were working on his back, and then they said he was out with a hammy.
Yeah, it's been his back for a couple years. I think the first injury he had earlier in the season was a calf, and then it was a hamstring. So that's why you get worried, is when it's 3 separate things piling up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how accurate the medical reports are. Obviously they have a vested interest not to necessarily be 100% truthful with what he's actually dealing with. But no, you're right. The wear and tear. We talk about the carries, the touches, and all that. How about just all the games? I mean, with the 2 Super Bowl runs that the Seahawks have had, I know there's been a lot of press coverage on it, but he's basically played an extra half season compressed into 2 years. He has done a lot of work, and I know a lot of owners are worried about Marshawn Lynch, so I guess I'll throw it out to you guys. What should fantasy managers do with Marshawn Lynch, Marcus Grant?
Well, I mean, if you're really, really panicked, you try to trade him, but I still believe that he's going to be a big part of what the Seahawks do down the stretch. I mean, this team is going to be in the thick of the hunt for the NFC West title. They are probably going to be a playoff team unless something really catastrophic happens. So that means that down the stretch, regardless of whether Fred Jackson is there or Thomas Rawls is there, they're going to need Marshawn Lynch to be successful, and they are going to get him the football in plenty of opportunities. So, I mean, if you have the opportunity to be patient, and I understand that not everybody can do that depending on your fantasy roster, then I think you wait and you give him an opportunity. But if you're panicked and if you need help somewhere else, try to deal him. Somebody will take him based on name value alone.
I guess potentially that's – you do one of two things. You keep the faith and hope that he returns to beast mode, or you try to package him in a trade, because I don't know that you're going to get value for him one-on-one. You're not going to get, say, an Emmanuel Sanders for him or a Julian Edelman for him. You're not going to get that kind of value right now, at least not in most leagues. But if you package him potentially, there's a chance. But I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I have him in our NFL Fantasy Live League, and I am crossing my fingers and keeping the faith that at some point when he gets healthy, he'll come back and play well. He does have a pretty good playoff schedule, too, if you look at it.
All right, so I got to ask, we mentioned trades a lot, and sometimes, I get comments like, well, okay, trade him, but for what? Not for a specific player, but what level of player are you trading him for? Are you trading him for a wide receiver one? Are you trading him for a wide receiver two?
I don't think you're getting that back right now.
I don't think you're getting that back either. Are you trading him for a wide receiver two? What are you trading him for?
You probably, well, you know me. I'm going after the gusto, so I'm going 2-for-1. But if you're going 1-for-1 right now, I don't know that you can get one of the top 10 fantasy wide receivers, and I'm not talking about Travis Benjamin, okay? I'm talking about some of the elite.
Talking about James Jones.
I wouldn't do that either. There are other wide receivers out there that you can get. To be quite honest with you, you can probably go Amari Cooper for Marshawn Lynch straight up. Someone would probably do that trade. I think someone would probably do a Keenan Allen for Marshawn Lynch deal, but I also believe that it depends on how desperate another team is to get a running back and how much they're willing to risk. But I'm not going to give Lynch away for a bag of peanuts, that's for sure.
Alex?
Yeah, I think Fab said it, though. The best is to try and package him. Put him with some lower-tier guy that's playing well right now, that's on like the wide receiver 3 range or, you know, RB3 range or whatever, and flip the both of them for a better prospect to help somebody out who needs the depth and is optimistic that Lynch is going to return.
All right, there you go. Deion Lewis got it. Am I reading this right? Deion Lewis got a 2-year
extension.
Yes,
he did.
Mid-season.
Yes, he did.
Which, by the way, the Patriots never do.
Not to running backs.
Not to anybody. They never work out extensions in the middle of a season. It's a fair point to ask. Is Bellatrix officially over?
I'm gonna say yes.
I mean, I'm gonna tentatively say yes. I don't want the Bellatrix to hear
I know,
and come back.
Like, can we somehow excise this part of the podcast so it doesn't get back to Boston? I think it is. I go back to the first couple weeks of the season when Deion Lewis put the ball on the ground in back to back games,
right,
and stayed in there and remained a big part of what they do. I think this week's gonna tell us a lot when we see how much LeGarrette Blount gets used. I mean, Blount had a big game a couple weeks ago, but a lot of those came once the game was out of hand and he scored a lot of touchdowns late. But if this game remains at issue for most of the afternoon, which is possible against the Cowboys, I'm curious to see how much Deion Lewis is on the field versus how much LeGarrette Blount is on the field, and that might give us a clue.
It's interesting, too. I think about what the Patriots are trying to get done offensively. They're throwing the ball. I mean, they look like Baylor out there. I mean, it's just shotgun and go every play.
Brady's on pace for almost 6,000 yards passing.
It's crazy.
But
yeah.
How many pass attempts is he on pace for? That's the real question.
A lot.
I don't know. How many times did he throw the ball last game? Almost 60 times?
I'd have to take that.
Yeah, I'll pull it up while we go. But I think this is, like Marcus, you're right. Next game we're going to have to see. But this is such a sign of them putting their chips behind Deion Lewis. And if you watch the tape, he's been phenomenal for them, and he's a perfect fit for what they do because he's elusive. He can run between the tackles and outside, and he's dangerous after the catch, getting passes out of the backfield.
I guess the point that I was making is if the Pats are going to be throwing the ball 50 times a game or more, Deion Lewis obviously is the pass catching back, and that's why he's in there.
Tom Brady's thrown it 32 times, 59 times,
59?
And 52 times, 42 times.
He's on pace for 672 pass attempts.
Yeah, that would be up there.
Yeah, that would be. That's Matt Stafford-esque. And if he's throwing the ball 600 times, man, Deion Lewis, I mean, think about just the volume and the value there. So,
and especially this week.
Yeah.
I mean, no team has given up more fantasy points to running backs over the last 2 weeks than the Cowboys. And I'm not just talking about 28, 29, 37 plus. They've been getting slaughtered. And I know the defense will be a little bit better this week. You've got Rolando McClain coming back. I almost said Rolando Blackman. Rolando McClain coming back. Sean Lee looks like he's going to be okay. You've got Greg Hardy coming back. I am losing it. It's been a long week.
You're falling apart, man, in this podcast studio.
I'm going back to like old school Dallas sports athletes. But so they've got some players that'll be back, so the defense shouldn't be as bad. I think that'll affect the pass rush a little bit more than being able to run the football. But dare I say it, that Deion Lewis is a must start this week.
I agree.
Yep.
I think he's a must start every week. He's shown me nothing to shake the faith at all. All right, let's talk about some other injuries in Baltimore. How about Triple S, Steve Smith Sr., Crockett Gilmore? They didn't practice. I feel like they got a couple more injuries there as well. Breshad Perriman obviously still dealing with that very extensive knee injury.
Yep, Campanaro's on IR.
Campanaro's on IR. Who's healthy?
Kamar Aiken.
Come on down.
Where is the franchise? We're talking about Kamar Aiken, and the franchise is not in the building.
He's downstairs grinding out content. He's the only one in the fantasy stronghold right now. Bless his soul.
He always believed.
I like
that. That should mean quite a good workload for Justin Forsett, you would think, against
that
the
too.
Browns, who can't stop the run.
But speaking of Kamar, quick, while we're on it, because like he's actually a good waiver wire pickup this week.
100%.
In Matt Harmon's sleeper column, he was noticing that when Kamar has actually gotten targets this year, he's produced. Like when he's gotten like 7 or more targets, I think week 2 he had like 80 yards or something like that, and then this last week he had like 70 and a touch. So
I'm really excited to see what he could do. I think he can be a productive player.
He'll be a solid volume play this week. So if you've got space on your bench, pick him up, throw him in as a wide receiver 3. Like you could get a good
100%.
Return.
I would love to play him in the flex if I could. And in PPR, forget about it. I love this kid. In terms of upside, I'll give you a super deep sleeper. I know he's not ready quite yet, but just with all the depth chart problems they have there for pass catchers, Darren Waller. I know I talked about him earlier, mm-hmm. but a big guy, Georgia Tech product. And again, when you think about Georgia Tech products, you think about Calvin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas, and
Dez White. Nobody.
Darren Waller is built in that mold. Obviously, not nearly as good in terms of being able to actually, catch the ball or really run routes. He's still very raw.
Very, very raw.
But I tell you what, just the opportunities. What do I say, man? Opportunity makes kings of us all. And for me, I just feel like if he gets the opportunity in the red zone,
Yeah.
A little lob pass from Joe Flacco. It could pay dividends. Keep an eye on him.
The other super deep one is Chris Givens. They traded for him, former Ram. He's basically only a deep threat, but that's something that the team has been sorely lacking.
Sure.
Without Torrey Smith and without Breshad Perriman. So, yeah. I mean, if you're in a 16-team league and, you got Dez Bryant and, like, Jordy Nelson on your IR collectively, throw a flyer, one of those guys.
Yeah. The reason I really get excited about Darren Waller, by the way, I'm going to talk about this later, but I guess there's a James Coe drinking game out there.
Uh-oh.
Which I advocate 100%. apparently, adult beverages are had every single time I say, by the way.
By the way. On the podcast or on the show?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, but it's all good. So, by the way, Darren Waller, when you look at his combine numbers, they're fantastic. Anyways, I encourage people to take a look at his combine numbers anyways, and you could see why I am so excited about this deep sleeper. All right, how about let's talk – we didn't even get to Alshon Jeffrey. Still limited in practice, man. I don't know what to make of Alshon Jeffrey. I just flipped him. I just flipped him in our NFL Fantasy Live League to Adam Rank for Dante Moncrief.
Straight up?
Straight up, just because I'm tired of dealing with the injury reports.
I think Rank got you on that, too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But that's okay, because I got Moncrief on my March 1100, and I got to have him on my team.
Got to roll with that.
He didn't march very far.
No, by the way, here we go again. 3 yards. 3 yards?
That's going to put him off pace a little bit.
Moncrief, that's
3 yards.
3 yards.
With Alshon, they've been keeping him out, so he's hopefully healthy. He's been limited. I hope he plays this week, because he's got a phenomenal matchup against the Chiefs. With the Bears there, and the offense got going a little bit with Smoke and Jay back in the lineup, but it's very frustrating right now. You gotta hope he's either healthy to play or that they just like sit him again and let him get 100% and then come back and tear it up.
Yikes. All right. Any other injury news that you guys want to get out of the way? I think Julius Thomas was practicing.
He was catching passes.
Yeah, so
not ready yet, but if he's available in your league, go get him.
Julius Thomas could be close. He could be very, very close. All right, let's talk about matchups that excite us, and then we'll talk about matchups that scare us as well, and then we'll get to daily daps. All that stuff still ahead. All right, so matchups that excite us. Oh, by the way, follow us on Twitter, at NFL Fantasy, at Alex Gelhar, at Marcus G., at Michael_Fabiano, and at James D. Co. Go to the website, NFL.com/fantasy. Tons of great content there. Any articles that we want to push out?
Got so many. there's a lot.
I know Franchise writes a great piece.
We will also have his committee meetings is great for running backs. If you're stuck with a back in Washington, Philadelphia, New York at all, check that out.
Opportunity report.
That's good. Harmon looks at targets and touches. We're going to be doing today, we'll put out our massive player-by-player game preview for every game. All the fantasy-relevant players, some great stats and stuff in there. Good one to look through if you need some help tweaking your lineup and stuff.
NFL.com/fantasy, and we answer a crazy amount of Twitter questions online
and
as well. And
like the podcast, subscribe, download, tell your friends, you know, put it on the Twitter, on the interwebs, whatever you can do.
Those crazy
interwebs. We appreciate all of you.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, let's talk about matchups that excite us. Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, the entire Chargers offense taking on the Steelers, who have been anything but the steel curtain. They're like the steel sheet right now.
They're not even steel. It's more like the aluminum foil.
The satin curtain.
Right. Satin curtain. Yes. Where are we? I think Phillip Rivers is a start for you, yes?
Oh, my God. Heck yeah. He is in my top five this week. Not too many quarterbacks I would have started ahead of him. Certainly not Brian Hoyer. But the matchup is favorable. And look at Rivers at home this year, averaging over 380 passing yards, over 23 fantasy points per game. I realize there's question marks about Malcolm Floyd and Stevie Johnson, but Antonio Gates is back, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Reliable.
Keenan Allen's there, and so is Danny Woodhead, so I'm all in on Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, that was a name that didn't make it on the list here was Antonio Gates, because he's back now after his suspension. And
sure.
There are a few stronger bromances in the National Football League than Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates.
There you go. My goodness. Phillip Rivers loves him. If
I remember right, though, Fabs, you had Gordon. Was he a sit this week, though?
Yes.
What was the – because, I mean, we like the guys in the pieces in the passing game and think – you know, that's why I put Woodhead on here because I think he's going to get a nice volume.
The Steelers have actually not been terrible against the run, and I just fear – that the Danny Woodhead ravaging of backfield touches will continue.
And red zone touches.
Right. And that's really what worries me. You know, he scored 24.4 fantasy points so far this year in four games. The Steelers have given up fewer than 14 fantasy points to running backs in three of their first four games. So to me, I just can't trust him right now.
Yeah.
I can't play him unless I have no options and it's a starting running back and okay, yeah, I'm going to play him. But the matchup's not good, and the Danny Woodhead situation is not good either.
Marcus, Alex, I'd love for you guys to chip in on the whole Melvin Gordon situation. I see a lot of questions on Twitter regarding Melvin Gordon. Should I play him? Should I not play him? You know, Danny Woodhead obviously is not not a star in the NFL. Melvin Gordon's got a lot of hype.
He's a star in our hearts, James.
very good point. So I guess I'd love to get your take on the whole Melvin Gordon, and less about Danny Woodhead, because I think we've talked about Danny Woodhead enough on the podcast. We've pumped him up. If you've got him, you know, play him in the flex. Be confident. If you're in a PPR, 100% play him. But Melvin Gordon, what do we make of his matchup? What do you think of him this week? Where do you play him, if at all?
I don't think you can play him right now.
I'm not playing him.
I'm not playing him this week. I don't know that you can play him right now just because he hasn't been consistent. He had one good game. That was in week two against the Bengals. He had 88 rushing yards there.
Yeah. And he was picking up chunks.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, he's not – you take that game out, he's not averaging 4 yards a carry. He's averaging right around, you know, 3.6 yards per carry or so. I mean, that's not very good. And you know, he's still – it looks like he's still trying to figure things out. And I think more than that, he just hasn't earned the trust of Phillip Rivers yet to be on the field. So, for the time being, I don't know that you can play him. I think you leave him on your bench because the talent is there. It's just – he hasn't yet put it together.
Part of the trouble is, too, he is running behind the not-the-greatest offensive line.
And that
team is thriving because of Phillip Rivers' head and his quick release and getting it out quickly to Keenan Allen and Danny Woodhead. So that puts a damper on Gordon because he's still getting into his rhythm and he's not getting a lot of holes and stuff like that. So you're going to have to wait and keep him on the bench until that offense really gets humming and where they need to, like, salt away some leads, because that's when they'll put Gordon in. That's not going to be Danny Woodhead's role.
I mean, 3/5 of their offensive line suffered injuries last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their status is going into week 5, but just know that those guys are dinged up. It scares me. I know the Steelers have not been great defensively, but I don't know, man. The offensive line problems there with San Diego, a lot of it just scares me. I think Phillip Rivers is going to rely heavily on his two tight ends. Ladarius Green will still get work even with Antonio Gates in there. And they almost have to. They almost have to keep them both in for pass protection just because Phillip Rivers was getting killed in week 4. And I don't know how many more of those hits he can sustain. I do want to talk about the other side of the ball. Martavis, speaking of guys coming back,
yeah,
it's like the guys
buddy.
Coming back bowl. Antonio Gates on one side, Martavis Bryant on the other. How excited are you guys about Martavis Bryant making his return? Give me some statistical expectations for the explosive wideout for the Steelers.
I'm truthfully not expecting a huge game on Monday night. I'm excited that he's back. There's no question about that. He's one of the most fun wide receivers in the league to watch for me just because of his skill set, his athleticism, his speed. He's got really good hands. You look at the numbers, though, and you know me, I'm all about the numbers. San Diego's pass defense has been really good this year. If you're looking at wide receivers, third fewest fantasy points allowed to the position, and Ben Roethlisberger's not the quarterback. When Roethlisberger comes back, I'm going to be a heck of a lot more excited about Martavis Bryant. In fact, he would be somebody that in the next couple of weeks I'd probably try to trade for.
Mm-hmm.
You probably wouldn't have to give up a whole lot to get him either. So he's someone that I would target. He's not someone that I would start unless I am hurting at wide out. Maybe he's a three or a flex, but I don't know that he's a must start this week.
I think I'm kind of with you. I mean, not a must start this week. I'm excited. I wouldn't be surprised if he dropped 110 and a touch on him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he had a 3 for 32.
I only see him with like 3 catches, but I do think it's more of the 3 with 110 and
yeah.
a touch, because I just see Mike Vick going back and launching a couple of YOLO balls and letting Martavis Bryant go get it. So it may not be a great PPR game, but he's a home run hitter, and I think, you know, with him back on the field, I expect the Steelers to swing for the fences a couple times.
It's one of those situations where if you're looking at your lineup and you've got either like him or I don't know, like maybe
Marvin Jones.
A Marvin Jones type in your flex, where Jones might have the safer floor, but if you think you need that little extra boost to win your matchup, go with Martavis.
I'm all in. I'm all in, baby. Give me some Martavis Bryant. It's like you said, man, he's going to throw up some YOLO balls, all good. He'd get a little bubble screen and take it to the house. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what, man, I'm all in. I'm excited to see Martavis Bryant. Absolutely excited to see him. And you know what? Having Martavis Bryant out there will absolutely help Antonio Brown as well. You just can't roll that coverage as much, especially deep on Antonio.
You're telling me DHB's not commanding coverage and attention and defenses?
Which, by the way, so last week I was with some friends watching the Steelers play on Thursday night, and with a couple of friends who are big time Raider fans, and they were cursing Darius Heyward Bey every time he made a catch. Where was that 3 years ago?
Well, look, when you have Matt McGloin throwing you the ball, it's hard to produce, man. So let's everyone calm down there in Raider Nation. All right, how about with the Giants? They take on the San Francisco 49ers, and we anticipate Eli Manning and OBJ to have pretty solid afternoons, yes?
Yeah, I am. You know, as Alex was mentioning, we write our game previews, and we talk about these fantasy-relevant players, and I previewed this game. And basically my write-up about OBJ consisted of even really good secondaries have a tough time slowing him down. The 49ers don't have a really good secondary, so you can do the math on that one.
Are there any running backs we like? Any?
Maybe Los Hyde in this game.
Matchup is good. The issue with Los Hyde is offensive line.
Offense.
Behind,
just
Niners
stop it at offense.
Behind and abandoning the run. But I would still play him as an RB2.
You can't not
or a
play
flex.
Him. You can't not play him. I think the talent level's too high.
You know what's funny is that after the first week of the season, you would have thought that Carlos Hyde was the best fantasy running back of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm trading Jamal Charles for him.
Well, I wouldn't get that
great. Now, barely an RB2.
He's regressed into what we thought he was going to be, a talented guy on a bad team who doesn't necessarily play three downs.
Right.
It's both sad and like reassuring that we did all this work, and we were like, man, we love Los Hyde, but we think everything's going to be stacked against him. And then week one, he goes bananas, and we're like, we're a bunch of idiots. And then these last 3 weeks, we're like, oh, okay.
Oh, no,
the process was fine.
We had it right.
Let's calm down.
Well, I think if you have Carlos Hyde, you can't not play him. I mean, you got to find a
it's good,
way.
It's a good flex spot this week for me, for sure.
I think I still have him as a high upside RB2 because he just needs to break one off to justify the start. But if you're not – I mean, there's no one who's a flex-level player that I would play over Carlos Hyde in a standard –
TJ Yeldon.
I was going to say
– in a standard league.
Deion Lewis.
But Deion Lewis has absolutely graduated to must-start RB2 status. Must-start. I'm saying flex level.
Danny Woodhead? I'd start Woodhead over Hyde.
Oh, man.
I almost flashed back and said Gore for a second there. yeah, I'd start Woodhead over Hyde. I think he's got a much safer production level.
Yeah, no, I
non-PPR?
Agree. I agree.
Even non-PPR.
Even non-PPR.
Danny Woodhead's like the 15th highest scoring fantasy bag or something right now.
I'd go with Hyde. I like the matchup this week. The Giants are giving up, what, 20 fantasy points a game to running backs? I would go with Hyde still.
I was trying to look at the schedule and see if there were some other guys in that wheelhouse we could toss out. But, yeah, so he's good. You try and get him in your lineup if you have
him. If I had Carlos Hyde and Martavis Bryant. I love Martavis Bryant. But
that's not even close. Yeah.
But I'm still starting Carlos
Hyde. Oh, yeah, in the flex, totally.
All right. Chris Thompson versus the ATL. Great matchup, I would assume, here.
It does. And, you know, Marcus, all week on NFL Fantasy Live, has been giving up some great stats on the fact that Atlanta has really struggled against versatile, shifty,
pass-catching
running backs. You know, Lance Dunbar had a big game. Darren Sproles, Shane Vereen was the
Shane
other one,
Vereen,
right?
Darren Sproles, Lance Dunbar.
So wow. kudos to Marcos on Marcus. On,
Marcos.
I'm Marcos Grant.
Today.
I am hurting today, man. Like, I am so tired.
Someone needs to start you know what, Marcos Grant.
You know what that was? That was Miguel Fabiano coming out.
It was. This week, like, has been so brutal for me between work stuff and other stuff. And my mind is just shot. So, Marcus, I apologize for that. But I am trying to give you kudos for digging up that stat, because Chris Thompson has big-time PPR sleeper value this week.
We're totally dragging this into the NFL Fantasy Live show, by the way.
Marcos Grant.
We are going to have a Marcos Grant.
I wish I had a nice flamenco sort of guitar thing over here
we're
to play right
have
now.
Miguel Marcos... Fabiano, what else can we do?
No, that's what we're going to have. It's going to be Marcos and Miguel.
Are we going to be wearing like those, that like the
yeah,
weird
well, no.
You guys just both need fake mustaches.
Sombrero.
That's all.
Fake mustache.
We are the most interesting men in fantasy.
Exactly.
Boom. There it is. Boom. Hold on. Haitham Kalani, we've got your next segment.
For those of you listening on the podcast, that's breaking news alert. Where's the we need a breaking news segment. Breaking news alert.
Marcos Grant.
We have just come up with a new NFL Fantasy Live segment. And by the way, people might say, well, that's dumb. That's stupid.
Of course it is.
Of course.
Have you seen our show?
Yeah, if you watch
Fantasy
Live.
Have you seen our show? We did fantasy bartender.
Trying to have some fun.
We have promos of Marcus smashing a computer like Office Space. That's what we do.
You know what one was probably the peak weirdness in the last couple of years was when you guys did the fantasy like romance novels a couple ago. It might have been the year before you came, James.
It was 2 years ago we did for National Authors Month, I believe.
It was like National Poets Day.
Something like that.
Yeah,
it was like
something.
We did fantasy book reviews.
Right.
I think the crowning achievement was Eddie Lacy.
The Eddie Lacy one was hilarious.
Eddie Lacy, very Fabio-like with no shirt on and his locks flowing was that was
by the way,
crowning
since you
moment.
Can't see what's going on right now, Marcus Grant, maybe Marcos Grant too, is wearing a Han Solo t-shirt, which is very cool. And if you're a Star Wars dork like we all are, and if you're a Cowboys fan like I am, you can go on NFL Shop and they actually have Cowboys Star Wars t-shirts.
Do they?
Do
they for other teams?
I didn't look. But I've got two in the mail. One of them is like Yoda's head, the other one is Darth Vader with Dallas Cowboys. That's awesome.
It's Fabs. Everything in Fabs' world
Dude,
colliding.
I will be if it comes in time for NFL Now on Sunday, I will be wearing.
Unless it was
right
Darth like Darth Vader fighting Rocky, and they were all
you
wearing Cowboys gear.
Just checking it. It appears that it's only for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh yeah,
oh,
buddy.
I know that they.
Why?
Let me see. I know
so
that they exist.
I got this one's coming. And
Why?
I got that one coming, too.
I do know that they exist for USC, Ooh, and I can't speak to other NFL teams.
What is
right.
that? Is
as,
that?
As enjoyable as this is, we should probably get back nice. To some matchups. It's, that was quite the tangent.
I love it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'll tell you, guys, my brain is just fried right now, so I'm just lying by the seat of my pants and having
all right,
fun.
So it was a productive tangent, though.
Absolutely. MG, give me Chris Thompson. You love him, obviously, against the Falcons. Chris Thompson has been, you know, very up and down. But give a case as to why you would start him in the flex.
Well, I mean, he makes his living catching passes. I mean, that is what he has done so far for Washington. And, you know, Fabs is talking about the numbers. It's something like Darren Sproles with 7 catches, 76 yards. Shane Vereen, 8 catches, 76 yards. Lance Dunbar, the 10 for 100. I really look at Chris Thompson this week, and I feel like his baseline, 7 catches, 75 yards. That's the baseline for Chris Thompson. That's a solid PPR day.
Very
if he
good.
Gets into the end zone, you're loving life.
He's also out-snapped both Morris and Jones
Ooh.
Lately. Like 70% for him or something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I assume a lot of that has to do with game flow, right?
Totally is, and if they're doing passing downs. But that's another reason why, like, the Atlanta offense is very good. They could probably get up on Washington, and then if they're playing catch-up, they're going to be needing to dink and dunk.
I would be shocked if they don't build some kind of 10-point.
Right, so that's why it's all stacking up. Watch, Chris Thompson's going to have one catch for negative 6 yards this week. But
it's funny, though. We should really, like check out the percentages of successful and failed predictions when almost everyone loves the guy. Like, so
you.
Carlos Williams last week, okay, everybody loved him. He had that touchdown. He was okay. But, like,
it was looking bad for a while.
There are, like, we all of a sudden loved the Houston Texans defense last night, and they just absolutely stunk. We all liked Derek Carr the week before against Chicago, and he did not have a good game. So that, to me, I'm telling you, up there in the sky, the fantasy gods are looking down, and they're saying, you think you know what you're talking about, but you don't know what you're talking about. Watch this.
Put the stats mavens on it.
We should do that, dude.
Probably should. Chris Thompson is a sneaky good DFS play from what
he does. Yes, he is.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Because
value.
Those are all PPR. So.
Exactly. You could stick him in the flex there. I like it. I'm probably going to go with him in DFS. You've sold me. Marcus Grant, good job. All right. Kansas City taking on the Chicago Bears. Interesting matchup, especially for pass catchers, I believe. Jeremy Maclin. We had a hearty debate about Jeremy Maclin. Trade away, trade four. And we'll start with our senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. You say trade away.
Trade away Maclin. Yes.
Yep.
His value is extremely high right now. I'm 50% on him, right? The first 2 weeks he stunk. The last 2 weeks he's been very good. And I think he's going to have a good game this week because the Bears defense is no bueno.
Right.
But I just don't see it continuing. The last 2 weeks have been very great, very good. But I think there's going to be inconsistencies, as we've already seen from him.
Sure.
Two good games, two bad games. So I'd be trying to trade him now while his value is high. And you could probably get something pretty good for him at this point. You could probably get a pretty good player for him.
As a matter of fact, it almost sounds like, hey, play him versus Chicago and then trade him.
Yes. Okay. Yep, even better.
What level of player are you moving for a Jeremy Maclin?
Well, dude,
he's clearly in the,
you know,
in the wide receiver two range.
If he goes out and has 100 and a touchdown against Chicago, and you're looking at a three-game stretch where he's one of the best wide receivers in fantasy, dude, I'm going after the big names, dude. I'm going after a guy, for example, like maybe Marshawn Lynch, because people are worried about him. You may be able to get him on the cheap. I'd trade him for Andrew Luck in a potential package, something like that, you know.
Which is just good advice too. Shoot for the moon.
Of course.
In trades. Like,
of course.
What's the worst that's gonna happen? They're gonna say no, and then you get, okay, well, what about this? It's not like they say no and you're like, well, that's never gonna happen. Like, don't throw at a good player for a bad player.
And you're trying to rob
me. Don't be that guy.
Insane. Don't like try and flip, you know, Jeremy Maclin for
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Don't be that guy.
But, like shoot for the moon.
Sure.
Like, you know, throw him out there and see if you can get, I don't know. I'm at
Todd Gurley?
Right now. Yeah, sure.
Sure.
I mean, in one league, I traded for Jeremy Maclin because I'm on the side of go get him.
Yeah.
You know, I traded him for Joseph Randall. You know, it's a team where I've got some running back depth, so I could afford to lose a guy. And so
you gave Joe Randall for Jeremy Maclin.
I gave up Joe Randall, got Jeremy Maclin back.
I'm
big on him. You know, I see what's going on with this team.
Yeah.
I see the last 2 weeks, 24 targets. They look like they're trying to feed him, and they're moving him around. They're trying to get him in space because the fact of the matter is, if you play for an Alex Smith quarterback team, then you are going to have to get yards after the catch. So they're getting him in space and allowing him to be able to run with the football. And I don't know. I'm encouraged by what I've seen.
Also, in regards to Joe Randall, he has very quietly entered the Joik Bell zone.
Uh-oh.
His last 22 carries have only gone for 28 yards. That is hashtag.
But at least he's getting into the end zone.
Let me say this, though. On paper, I think a lot of folks would say I would much rather have Joe Randall, who plays running back,
mm-hmm.
over Jeremy Maclin. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of folks would say that. But Alex, you seem very confident that Marcus came up on this trade.
I do. I've been telling people in the trade calls column I have to write every week to get rid of Randall while he's hot. Like, he had his 3-touchdown game, and I was like, now's the time. Like, ship him off. Get him out of there. Cause Even with no Lance Dunbar, Darren McFadden saw more snaps. Kristen Michael will probably see more snaps. He has, you know, like it or not, left some meat on the bone as well. And he got into the doghouse in that last game because they had told him, don't extend the football over the goal line. And he lost the football doing that. Thankfully, he crossed the goal line before he did. But Jason Garrett and company
were not happy.
They were not happy with that. He's definitely in a committee, as they told us the entire offseason. So that's why, like, you need to parlay that three touchdown game and the.
But is he in a committee? Look at the numbers. Look at the backfield touches.
He had like no touches after that fumble.
Right. I
and
know.
Now with
well,
Dumb,
that
now
was
with,
right.
Now with Dunbar out, like they're gonna continue to rotate it around.
But see, I think I'm on the same wavelength as James here. Is there, I think the touches are going to be there for him. He's clearly the best back in that locker room. I mean, he's clearly the best back.
You keep trying to make Fetch happen, and yes. Fetch is just not going
to
happen.
Stop trying to make Fetch
happen.
I mean,
the Cowboys keep saying, they keep telling us just flat out that it's a committee system. They've been saying it all off season.
Yeah, but I think what Fabs is saying, though, is that the snap count percentages don't necessarily tell that story. And I would say this. If you guys know me, I was in the preseason – saying Darren McFadden will win this job later in the season. Early on, it's going to be Joe Randall. Later in the season, it's going to be Darren McFadden. And I think that still could be the case. But, boy, I'll tell you what, Darren McFadden hasn't really shown much.
He's looked better than Joseph Randall recently.
Might be true.
He's been averaging 4 yards per pop.
In that last game, certainly. But, boy, those first 2 weeks, it was hard to trust Darren McFadden.
Right now, you've got Randall at 59 carries, McFadden's got 32, and that's with Randall getting benched for a half last week.
Yeah,
6-3 in terms of receptions. So you're looking at 65-35.
Yeah, I think that starts evening out more though now.
Yeah,
or Kristen Michael gets in the mix,
and I think that's where
Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson, I think.
Rise and fire!
That's a name we haven't mentioned since we
started
the preseason.
Isn't he injured?
Practice squad. He's healthy now. He's just on the practice squad.
Oh, boy. Anyways, it's a backfield, no question. We are keeping a very close eye on. Alex Gellhart and Marcus Grant seem to project forward and looking at Joe Randall, losing some touches. Michael Fabiano says, hey, Joe Randall is still the man and can still produce. All right, let's talk about some matchups that scare us here. Todd Gurley really, I mean, just exploded in, what was it, one quarter, really?
Yep.
Of football. Do we trust him now versus the Packers?
Well, he had a great game against a great run defense last week. I guess the training wheels are off now. Fisher's taking the training wheels off. To me, Gurley, I have him ranked right in the RB1, RB2 borderline territory. And regardless of the matchup, I'm going to play this guy. We have heard so many great things about him. He comes from a running back factory in Georgia, and he looked good. That knee didn't look like it was any kind of problem at all. He will have another test on his hands. Green Bay is very good against the run, especially against running backs. But I certainly would not be second-guessing starting him, even though the matchup is not that good.
No, I think that the reason I put him on here, too, is because I have him ranked highly as well because he's very talented, and it appears he has won this backfield handedly.
Yeah.
However, the last three backs the Packers have faced, Marshawn Lynch, 41 yards. Jamal Charles, 47 yards. Carlos Hyde, 20 yards. If Jamal Charles doesn't get into the end zone three times, the Packers look even scarier against the run. Their defense has been rejuvenated, like having B.J. Raji back in the middle. Mike Daniels is playing out of his mind. And they're at home, and it's the Packers.
That's what I'm saying.
They're probably going to get up.
So, I mean, we talk about game flow all the time. Mm-hmm. We talk about game flow all the time. If the Packers go up 21-3 on the Rams, which is not out of the realm.
It's just so hard.
It's hard to project.
I mean, the NFL is crazy. The NFL is insane. I love it. I mean, and that's what is so great about the game.
It's like, which Rams team is going to show up? The one that beat Seattle or the one that scored like 6 points?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm starting him in a league. Yeah. I'm not fired up about it because I do worry that this thing could go wrong. You know,
you got to start him.
You start him. I mean, you know, he could have a huge day like he did last week. He could come back with, you know, 53 yards. You know, who knows? But I'm taking the chance and I'm putting him in my line.
It's one good quarter. That's what makes me worried. It's not like they fed him early and he was just gashing the Cardinals early and often. They got him late.
It's true. I mean, they put him in at the end of an old-fashioned slobber knocker, to use that term, where these two teams
good
have
old
been,
JR.
These teams have been duking it out for a while. So, but he's supremely talented. So
unbelievably talented.
We're starting him. All but right. It's just be a little leery.
All right. How about the Raiders versus the Broncos? Amari Cooper on very high alert. I know he's a sit for you, Michael Fabiano. Explain.
Well, he's a sit as long as you have some other options at wide receiver. So, for example, if Cooper was drafted to be your two or your three, you landed Larry Fitzgerald at some point later in the draft, and your first pick at wide receiver was any of the elite guys, OBJ, Randall Cobb, someone like that, and you only start two wide receivers, then, you know, I'm sitting Cooper. I don't even have him in my top 15 this week. I believe he's out of my top 20 as well at wide receiver. I'm in a league where I have to play him. I have a three wide receiver flex league. I'm playing him because, well, it's going to be hard to find someone that I can justify starting ahead of him based on talent alone. But look at Denver's defense. I mean, they're giving up nothing. They've given up one wide receiver touchdown all year long.
Aqib Talib
has played very
Chris
well.
Harris Jr.
Calvin Johnson didn't do hardly anything against Denver. And listen, this is a team whose defense has been better than their offense, which is
strange. Oh yeah, no, that's
from
very
a Peyton
true.
Manning led team. So if you have that depth, you know, don't come back at me and said I started Allen Hurns over Amari Cooper. You're an idiot.
Well, that's not crazy.
Stop it. Okay? But beware of this matchup.
Right. Yeah. There is some hope. I mean, Stephon Diggs, a much rawer rookie than Amari Cooper, roasted Aqib Talib last week for the Vikings. So with Cooper's skill set and being such a proficient route runner and stuff, he could very easily get open and get some nice volume, but that is a dynamite defense, so you have to be scared.
Yeah, and it's not even so much. Well, it is partially the, you know, the secondary there with Harris and Talib on the back end, but the fact that they're getting after the quarterback up front. I mean, we've seen Von Miller, yeah. DeMarcus Ware,
Marcus Ware's league leader in sacks right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, they are really getting after quarterbacks, which makes it hard if you are Derek Carr, if you're any quarterback, to, you know, to find time to get the ball to your receiver downfield. So my fear is you're going to have Derek Carr running for his life, and that's the one big knock on Carr. As much as I like the guy, in the face of pressure, he really tends to struggle. And so if the Broncos can start to make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket, it's going to be a rough day.
All right. Anyone on the Broncos that – I mean, I will assume you're starting all your Broncos.
It's
funny because
Daniels.
Like –
Daniels.
baby.
Tight ends against the Raiders.
I remember a time when I couldn't justify putting Peyton Manning and start him and sit him because he was just too damn obvious. Now – he's 23rd in fantasy points among quarterbacks. 23rd! 22 quarterbacks with more points than him. Akbar's going to be eating maggots on the show at some point because he's got no shot at going for 42 touchdowns. But this is a week where you trust Peyton Manning. The Raiders have given up an average of almost 20 fantasy points per game, 19.3, which is fifth most. And even though Peyton's not Peyton anymore, which is kind of what a lot of us expected, when the matchup is good, you got to get him in there. I like both the Manning brothers this week, but you're starting Peyton, you're starting Sanders, you're starting Demaryius Thomas. Obviously, Alex said you're starting Owen Daniels as a one-week fill-in because of the Raiders' defense. But which running back are you starting, if any? I have
none.
C.J. Anderson.
None.
Bench.
No.
I would play Hillman as a flex over C.J. Anderson if I had to choose between the two.
I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I was looking at it. C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman's numbers are essentially the same except for one 72-yard touchdown run. If Hillman doesn't have that touchdown run, their numbers are eerily similar.
Right.
Well, so he still had that touchdown.
Still did.
So,
but
it's not like C.J. Anderson did it.
Yeah, I'm not touching that backfield.
Speaking of backfields, we're not touching the rest of the Washington backfield.
True.
Anybody not named Chris Thompson?
Watch.
I'm out.
Watch Morris go nuts this
week. Oh yeah, he'll
buck
20.
Atlanta's defense stinks against the run. They're terrible. The worst one in the entire league from a fantasy perspective. And it stinks because, like, I have Morris in our fantasy life. Like, I can't play him. I can't. And he's going to have 18 because it's so bad. Watch. Watch, like, Morris get hot and Gruden go all Shanahanigans on us and sits Matt Jones on the bench. They bring in Chris Thompson on third downs, and it's the Morris and Thompson show, and everyone's got Morris on their bench.
Morris, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Is that what we're looking at here?
Get out of here.
Let's talk about Tampa Bay versus the Jaguars. Doug Martin versus the Jags. He had a great week 4. Do we trust him to repeat that performance against the Jags?
I don't.
I want him to.
Marcus, I'm so depressed.
I do.
I want him to.
I totally do. Like I know that obviously the Buccaneers have invested a lot in Jameis Winston,
yep.
But it hurts to watch him drop back and throw the ball 35, 40 times.
To the other team?
To the other team, you know? And I am all for bringing quarterbacks along slowly. I mean,
sure.
You've got this guy under contract for, 4 years, the option for a fifth. There's no need to try to make him the centerpiece of the offense right now. Let him allow the running backs to do some work because I feel like Doug Martin is a volume guy. If he can get 20 touches, he can give you nice production. But instead,
100% agree.
Instead, they're going to let Jameis drop back, throw it 35 times. You have to live with the 4 picks and maybe a couple of fumbles, and it crushes.
And also, take a look at the matchup. You think Jaguars, you think, their defense isn't really that good. But they've given up fewer than 12.5 fantasy points to running backs in 3 of 4 games this year. So it's not as bad as y'all think it is. The Jaguars' defense has actually been pretty tough against runners. And I'm not talking about 12 and a half per game to the number one running back on an opposing team. I'm talking about every running back.
Right. Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson versus Baltimore. Baltimore famously has done very well against running backs, opposing running backs. I assume Isaiah Crowell is a sit for most everybody, unless you're, you know, obviously desperate at that position. But what about Duke Johnson? He's got an interesting skill set, at least.
They're finally using it, too. He had, like, two passing targets the first 2 weeks of the year, and then he got 17 over the last two. In PPR leagues, I don't mind Duke Johnson as a flex at all this week.
How many
catches did
he have in week four? Like, 8 or 9?
In week four? 9, I think.
That's
I think he had 9.
That's a crazy amount of receptions.
Yeah, he has 15 catches on 17 targets, I think, in the last 2 weeks.
And you know what was one of the most impressive ones was where, I mean, he was lined up in the slot, and he just go route, boom, gone. And, you know, McCann dropped a pass
on
right into
touchdown.
Him. On that that's like a wide receiver. I mean, he's talented. He's really talented. And I think he's more than a Giovanni Bernard type. I think he could actually end up being at some point in his career like more of a featured back. Not a guy who's going to carry it 300 times, but certainly a guy who can give you 300-plus touches in a season.
So Duke Johnson, a start at the flex.
PPR.
Isaiah Crowell, sit unless you...
Yeah, concerned about the...
Last year, two games against the Ravens, 61 yards, no touchdowns.
Any other matchups that you want to hit, Alex Gilhar?
Just real quick, Pierre Garçon in that Washington game should see a lot of volume, but you got to be worried he's going to get the Desmond Trufant treatment, and he has just been erasing
wide
receivers.
Is Deshaun Jackson coming back?
Not yet. Not sure. It doesn't sound like.
Yeah.
I was trying to research around, and from what I could tell, he's not quite back yet. He did individual work this week in practice, so maybe next week, but I think he's out for this one. Sneaky, super deep play.
Okay.
I think this was one of your danger zone picks, Derek Carrier, though.
Yeah, buddy.
They traded for him because their tight ends have just evaporated from the Washington roster, and if Jordan Reed sits, that it sounds like Derek Carrier is going to have a could have a ton of targets.
They should have called Chris Cooley.
Again, I talk about combine numbers and pro day numbers all day long, and rightfully so, because if you have no game tape on a guy, what else can you really go on? But Derek Carrier is an unbelievable athlete.
Very good athlete.
6'4", 240. At his pro day, he went to Beloit College. Beloit College, small school in the home state of the Whiz Kid in Wisconsin. And he played basketball there. He's 6'4", 240. He ran a 4.5 40. A 4.5 40.
Speedy.
For a tight end is crazy fast. And by the way, he played basketball at a small school, and now he's playing tight end. That's never worked.
Boy, have we heard that before.
That's never worked in the NFL. Yeah, so there's a lot to like about Derek Carey. He couldn't see the field because they were monetarily and philosophically invested in a few other tight ends. But now that it's his time to shine, and with no DeSean Jackson out there, they're going to have to throw it to somebody.
He could see a ton of targets.
I think he's going to see a ton. I've actually got him in my tight end position in a 14-team standard league.
There you go.
And I feel really good about it. I feel really, really good
about it. We'll see how you feel on Sunday then.
Hey, look, the danger zone has been on point this
year. Danger zone has been good.
You know what? I wish I was just playing danger zone, guys. I'm doing so bad in my regular – in my two various leagues that I – take very seriously. I'm doing so bad. I'm 0-4 in one league because I was invested in Dez Bryant. Didn't work out too well.
Nope.
And in my other league, I was invested heavily in Andrew Luck. That also did not work out.
Not so much.
Too well. All right. That was I'm really we should do daily dabs, but I'm really looking forward to, as a segue, I'm really looking forward to Marcos and Miguel.
The most interesting man in fantasy. I didn't mean to cut us off there too. My fat finger hit the drop a little earlier than I anticipated.
It's all good. Why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, my daily dab has got to be. I mean, it might have been yours too, Marcus. But we've talked about the movie Samurai Cop on this podcast before. And we are going to the world premiere of Samurai Cop 2 tonight in LA.
So excited.
Yes.
We so excited.
At the Lemley in North Hollywood. We're going to go. Harmon's coming with us, a couple of my other friends. They started a Kickstarter after the original Samurai Cop became a cult hit, got funded. They've made a sequel. And not only is it going to be insane and most of the original cast is returning, but they've added... They've added Tommy Wiseau. So we're going to go tonight. We'll have a full review for you on Tuesday. I have been waiting for this for months.
It's going to be terra bad, and I'm so fired up about it.
The trailer looks amazing. Just Google Samurai Cop 2 trailer and just, bask in its glory.
So good.
While we're waiting for mine, can you go on YouTube and find the Simon & Simon theme song?
I know where this is going.
Please fire that up.
I know.
I will try.
In the meantime, I guess I see you because it's good that I had a second dap in my back pocket because I had a feeling that this is where that was where Alex Gelhar was going to go with his. Look, I want to give a dap to Gatorade coolers. It's been a rough week. It has been a rough week for Gatorade coolers. First, on Wednesday night, you had the wild card game in the National League between the Pirates and the Cubs. And after that weird bench-clearing stare-down between the two teams, Sean Rodriguez for the Pirates goes back in the dugout and decides to go, Mike Tyson on a cooler and start punching it left and right.
Generally not a good call.
Not really a good call. And then on Thursday night, in the NFL game, you have the Texans and Colts. Arian Foster had that weird, he got hurt, left, brought himself back in, then was taken out. And then you see the shot of him on the sideline grabbing several Gatorade cups and snatching them and throwing them down to the ground. Look, guys, I mean, I know you're upset, but Gatorade coolers' lives matter. I don't understand what's going on here, so I just want to give a dap to Gatorade coolers because they didn't do it. They didn't do anything to deserve this.
They're just trying to do their job.
Just
keep you hydrated.
Refreshment, hydration. That's all they want to do.
Gatorade loves it too when these guys just lose it on their product.
The baseball one was the saddest
thing.
It was. In professional sports.
It was.
So sad.
Miguel Fabiano, give me a dap.
I've got two. First one quick to James Corden, who allowed Akbar and I to be involved in a few skits for his late show on CBS
last night.
It aired last night.
Oh, okay.
I tweeted it out. It's on YouTube, so
you
can check it out. I will not be going for my SAG card anytime soon, that's for sure. My other dap is to my buddy Max Greenfield. And if you guys like American Horror Story, they just started up a new season called American Horror Story Hotel. And poor Max, well, let's just say the worst thing that happened to him is the worst thing.
I hear he was violated.
That could happen to a man. Obviously, it's an act and it's a show. But I still felt bad for him when I was watching it happen. So Max, who was the current reigning NFL Fantasy Celebrity League Championship, kudos to you, my man. I hope you're feeling okay.
Is that the actor from
New Girl?
Schmitty.
New Girl. He's been doing a whole bunch of stuff for McDonald's.
Oh, good.
And,
good for him.
All right, James.
He didn't fare as well in the first.
All right, hey, so
we're going to have to bootleg this, though, so I'm going to put my mic close to this. I don't have my laptop up, so I can't plug. I can't wire the board.
Okay,
but
no, that's
all right,
fine. That's
hold
fine.
On one sec.
Okay, so I'm going to go shotgun style here. I'm going to give a daily dap to Golden Goff, Jared Goff. Hardly ever have I seen. Oh, yeah. Here we go. The Simon & Simon theme song I'm going to give a dap to. I was doing research for Danger Zone. Don't ask me how I got to Simon & Simon. I made a weird Simon & Simon reference. Oh, this is what it was. One of the actors for Simon & Simon.
Jameson Parker.
Jameson Parker went to Beloit.
Oh, nice.
Which is how I pulled that off in Danger Zone, which is, of course, by the way, I'm having a ton of fun with Danger Zone this year. We had a ton of fun last year, too.
Also, wait, real quick, Simon & Simon aside, did you see, because Marcus sent it around, the Funny or Die thing or whatever?
Funny or Die.
No, Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
Okay, good.
Adult Swim, they do a shot-for-shot remake of Simon & Simon's intro. Marcus Grant, I think, tweeted it out. It's great. Go look for it. It is really, really funny.
Starring John Hamm and Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Marcus said it to me. He's like, it's worth the 11 minutes. I was like, that's an eternity on internet time.
But it's funny.
It was great.
I'm going to give a daily dap to Simon & Simon theme song. Daily dap to Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott. They're making watching college football fun again. And speaking of college football, I will give my final daily dap to the Golden Goff, Jared Goff. Hardly ever have I ever seen one man carry a team as much as I've seen Jared Goff. They're 5-0 right now. Their defense is abysmal. They're atrocious. Everyone on the team is a below-average college football player. Jared Goff is playing out of his mind, and he is absolutely carrying the Golden Bears. They take on the fifth-ranked Utah Utes, 7 p.m. ESPN. Go Bears.
The two Utes?
Utes. 7 p.m. ESPN. Go Bears. I'm looking forward to it. Cal versus Utah. There you go. That's my daily dap.
Beautiful.
Let's get out of here. All right, for the WizKid from Wisconsin, MG, Marcus Grant, and Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, Miguel and Marcos. I'm James Coe. I'm Jaime. I'm out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.